The Australian Energy Market Operator has unveiled an ambitious plan to transform the national electricity market over the next three decades. But the price tag is set to top $12 billion. The roadmap outlines a path to shoring up East Coast energy supplies. It centres around new transmission lines and an accelerated move to get more renewable energy into our grid. Tim Buckley is the Director of Climate Energy Finance and our guest. Tim, welcome.
Good morning, Patricia.
AEMO says we need a ninefold increase in wind and solar capacity, triple the firming capacity to keep the grid stable in the face of potential intermittency, and a near fivefold increase in distributed solar. So a lot more extra investment. What's going to be required to deliver it?
That is, it is a massive transformation that is already underway. It's a once-in-a-century transformation, as AEMO talks about. And you mentioned the $12.7 billion of transmission funding that the government will need to put together to accelerate and drive this transformation. But I think a critical point is that that $12 billion of public money will catalyse 5 to 10 times as much private capital, and that will drive a massive decarbonisation, a massive deflation, reduction in the cost to all consumers of Australia, and it's critically needed given the energy crisis we have and the climate crisis we have. So I think it is entirely doable. It does require a huge amount of planning, and it requires immediate, urgent action.
AEMO says $12.7 billion is needed to build what is 10,000 kilometres of grid transmission. It's identified five projects as urgently needed. How quickly does the government need to move on these five projects?
I would say immediately, and that is certainly the conclusion from AEMO. As Tony Burke quite rightly said, we have a huge, unprecedented domestic energy crisis on our hands. It's a direct consequence of Angus's inaction and delay over the last 3, 4, 5 years. And a lot of these decisions are known, they've been modelled, they've been analysed, they're entirely in the public domain. They just need a decision, and then the capacity building. The biggest issue that AEMO identifies is, in fact, the need for urgent upskilling and capacity building, because these projects haven't been done for decades in Australia, and now all of a sudden, as you say, we need five of them built concurrently, and they are the critical enabler of a huge uplift in really low cost, zero emissions, renewable energy and firming capacity.
Distributed rooftop solar will also form a key part of the new grid. This is fairly skilled work. Do we have the domestic workforce to make it happen?
Patricia, that's a really key question and a key opportunity. We need capacity building there as well, but what we do have, unlike grid transmission engineers, we do have a really highly skilled, highly motivated, distributed energy workforce in the form of electricians across suburban Australia. So they have the capacity. They are very, very efficient. There was a big article in the New York Times only a week ago saying that the cost of distributed solar in Australia is half to a third of the price of what it is in America, because we have the right skills, we have the right regulatory construct, and we have not the barriers that America has. So I would argue we need a massive apprenticeship scheme, upskilling program. We need to rebuild our education system after a decade of defunding. We need the TAFE system. Apprenticeships are going to be key to build that capacity, because as you said, there's probably four times as many jobs in distributed energy as there is in these massive utility scale projects, whether they're thermal or renewables.
AEMO says we'll need to triple the firming capacity to sources other than gas, but peaking gas capacity is expected to decline in real terms. Where do you expect that firming capacity will come from?
It will come from a whole range of opportunities, but the point you made about peaking gas actually declining, I think that's lost on a lot of people because of the constant gaslit recovery rhetoric of the previous government. Gas will play a small, declining, but critical role in the transformation over the next decade, but the emphasis is on small and declining. And where will the capacity come from? It's actually a whole range of things. Australia is probably the second largest builder of utility scale batteries in the world. And we have probably 10 or 20 major utility scale world leading battery projects under development. They can be built within 6 to 12 months. They're distributed around the grid rather than all centralized like Snowy 2.0. And they can provide huge number of grid services. So batteries will be a major part. Behind the meter batteries will actually play an even bigger role, in my view, on a 10-year view. And to the point you made, by the AEMO plan goes out to 2050. What I'm talking about is batteries on wheels. We have something like 20 million cars across Australia. As we move to electric vehicles, those vehicles serve two purposes: to get you from A to B, but they're batteries on wheels. They're 10 times bigger than the battery you'd have behind the meter supporting a rooftop solar. And so if we can build, as we build out an artificial intelligence two-way power flow system across the grid that's underway, it needs to be accelerated, we'll have 10 to 20 million batteries on wheels providing the firming that is needed. So we need a huge investment in the grid, and that's your starting question. The $12 billion is a critical investment in upgrading the capacity of the grid transmission and distribution system to actually facilitate this once-in-a-century transformation.
We've only got 30 seconds left, but is there now, do you believe this will now happen? Do you think the political will is there?
Absolutely. Let's look at the ALP, not the 43% emissions reduction. Let's look at the really ambitious 82% emissions reduction target of the ALP at the federal level. That is critical. We now have state and federal cooperation and agreement, so we need to urgently get on with it.
Tim, thank you.
Thank you.
Tim Buckley, the Director of Climate Energy Finance. You're listening